over 70 years, the Middle East has been subject to a whole host of geopolitical tensions, at the heart of which is the Arab-Israeli conflict. Few Arab countries have ever had a full diplomatic relationship with Israel, although some have back-channeled for years. But in September and October 2020, the United States announced so-called normalization deals between Israel and two Gulf countries, the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain, and then with Sudan. The sticking point for decades had always been the occupation of Palestine, and the Gulf states had always demanded a return to pre-1967 borders as a condition for any form of official recognition. So what's changed? Why do these three countries appear to have given up on the Palestinian issue and got into bed with their supposed long-term adversary? Some see it as an attempt to curb two of the region's leading powers, Iran and Turkey, while others believe that Israel and the US have other long-term aims. But for the past 13 years, Israel has also failed to achieve another of its prime objectives, subduing the elected Hamas government of Gaza, despite a series of violent confrontations going back over 10 years. And this might be another reason why Israel has now chosen to develop wider political alliances in a bid finally to overcome Hamas. In this film, Tamer Al-Mishal of Al Jazeera's Arabic channel explores some of the reasons behind these shifting regional politics. Also, how the military wing of Hamas, the Qassam Brigades, has been working behind the scenes, acquiring new high-tech armaments, including rockets from Iran and other unexpected sources. And the concern this may very well cause Israel, as well as its allies. Israel's biggest global ally is clearly the United States. And in February 2020, President Donald Trump announced the long-heralded deal of the century for the Middle East. It was the brainchild of his son-in-law and senior presidential advisor, Jared Kushner.
We are asking the Palestinians to meet the challenges of peaceful coexistence, stopping the malign activities of Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and other enemies of peace.
The US was echoing Israel's demand for the complete disarmament of Palestinian resistance in Gaza.
Well, the focus on Gaza is, of course, because of the control of the enclave by Hamas, Islamic Resistance Movement. And it's defined in the American plan, the Trump plan, as a terrorist organization. And it's entirely in line with Israeli demands that the Palestinians disarm, demilitarize, and recognize the state of Israel, which Hamas, in contrast to the PLO, has never done.
It is part of the efforts of Israel and other smart leaders in the Arab world to build bridges into Israel and from Israel into Arab states. It's the benefit of both sides. They can gain our technology. At the same time, Israel can gain from these relations with the Arab states.
But while the benefits of the plan to Israel were clear, some observers saw it differently.
It is not a deal. It's a scheme, basically to take land from the Palestinians and to ratify what the settlers have already accomplished. And secondly, it's not a peace plan. The intent is not peace. There is no viable state that the Palestinians can create now, and certainly not under the terms that the current Israeli government is insisting upon, which is total demilitarization. In other words, you have to be powerless.
Hamas has effectively controlled the Gaza Strip since being democratically elected in 2006, and its military victory over the secular Palestinian Nationalist Party Fatah in 2007. This triggered a blockade by the two countries bordering Gaza, Israel and Egypt. But nevertheless, Hamas has been able to obtain rocket weapons technology, some homemade, others smuggled into Gaza. These images of rockets being manufactured and fired were obtained by Al Jazeera Arabic. The video shows the manufacture of homemade rockets by members of the Qassam Brigades. It strongly suggests that the blockade of Gaza is not preventing further rearmament. Al Jazeera also obtained this material from Hamas showing weapons testing. The images are likely to alarm its neighbors, as they suggest that Hamas has little appetite for disarmament or for engaging with the US-led peace process. Quantifying the type and number of rockets available to the military wing of Hamas is near impossible. But this video suggests that Hamas is in fact rearming in preparation for future military action. Ismail Haniyeh heads the political bureau of Hamas and is the organization's effective leader.
نعم بالتأكيد أن أحد الأهداف الاستراتيجية للاحتلال الإسرائيلي ومن يقف وراء الاحتلال الإسرائيلي هو سلاح المقاومة نزع هذا السلاح في هذا السياق وفي إطار أيضا تنفيذ صفقة القرن في محاولة تنفيذ صفقة القرن على الأرض الإدارة الأمريكية سعت إلى فتح قناة حوار مع قيادة حركة حماس
الحالية الإدارة الحالية
نعم مكتب كوشنر نفسه وطلب من أطراف أن تتحدث مع قيادة الحركة
وهل تحدثت معكم هذه الأطراف؟
نعم ونقلت لنا هذه الرسالة وأنه هم مستعدين أنه يجلسوا مع قيادة الحركة في أي مكان بدهم إياه في عاصمة عربية في عاصمة أوروبية لكي يتم الحديث مع حركة حماس في وضع قطاع غزة و
هل هذا الطلب حديث؟
نعم هذا يعني في أثناء الحديث عن صفقة القرن والتطبيق
خلال الأشهر الأخيرة
على الأرض خلال الأشهر الأخيرة يعني في هذا الموضوع وتدارست قيادة الحركة هذا الموضوع إحنا طبعا موقفنا كان إنه إحنا ما عندنا من حيث المبدأ مشكلة في إنه يكون حوار مع الأمريكان مع أي دولة في العالم إحنا فقط بنحط فيتو على أي مفاوضات أو حوار مباشر مع العدو الصهيوني مع ذلك نحن ما عندنا مشكلة لكن لما بكون في إلنا قراءة وهذه القراءة قالت بأن هذا حوار مسموم له علاقة بصفقة القرن له علاقة بسلاح المقاومة له علاقة بالحديث عن دولة فلسطينية في قطاع غزة هذه القراءة أفضت إلى أن يكون القرار أنه نعتذر عن هذا الحوار في هذا التوقيت
رفضتم أي لقاء؟
رفضنا أي لقاء لا فوق الطاولة ولا تحت الطاولة
If we're going to ever develop peaceful relations between Israel and Palestinian groups in Gaza, for example, we can't have a situation where the Palestinians can revert to violence the day after the agreement. So clearly, dismantling the terror infrastructure that Hamas has and enjoys is going to be part of any deal to make a Gaza arrangement workable.
Everyone talks about Hamas, but no one actually talks about the actual mood in Gaza itself. And although they've been through horrific starvations and deprivations and loss of electricity and repeated bombing, I see no sign of Gaza surrendering, hoisting the white flag. And I think with continued resistance, this deal will melt away.
late 2008 and into 2009, Israel attacked Gaza in an intense, violent conflict. The territory was subject to heavy bombardment, followed by a ground invasion. Over 1,000 Palestinians were killed in the space of 4 weeks.
Israel is going to take this kind of situation any longer. Enough is enough.
بحرب 2009 خلال أيام الحرب وصل تهديد إسرائيلي عبر أحد الوسطاء. هذا التهديد يتمثل بالآتي: إنه على حركة حماس أن توقف المقاومة لمدة 15 سنة، أن تغلق كل الأنفاق اللي هو كان بيقول بأنه هي أنفاق للإمدادات العسكرية، وأيضا أن تلزم كل فصائل المقاومة الفلسطينية بعدم القيام بأي أعمال ضد الاحتلال الإسرائيلي.
هل ذلك وصلكم في أول أيام الحرب؟ متى بالتحديد تقريبا؟
نعم، هذا تقريبا في منتصف أيام الحرب، يعني بعد اليوم 12 تقريبا. هذا تهديد كان واضحا مباشرا: إما أن توافقوا على هذه الشروط، وإما أن الجيش الإسرائيلي سيعيد احتلال قطاع غزة بالكامل. وكان موقفنا بشكل واضح وصارم وحازم: نحن لن نوقع على صك الهزيمة. العدو الإسرائيلي حينما فشل في انتزاع تعهد من المقاومة ومن قيادة الحركة بهذا الموضوع، أوقف الحرب من طرف واحد، وعقد تفاهم سمى ذلك الوقت اتفاق ليفني رايس، بحيث أن تحاصر غزة من أعالي البحار.
The sea blockade effectively isolated Gaza, enabling Israel and Egypt to seal off its land borders and cut off its marine access. This Hamas video, obtained by Al Jazeera, purports to show that the blockade is failing to prevent rockets arriving into Gaza. These images show what appear to be Hamas fighters with Fajr surface-to-surface rockets, long-range weapons sourced from Iranian technology. The video also shows Kornet Russian anti-tank weapons.
السلاح يأتينا عبر مئات وآلاف الكيلومترات من خلال البر والبحر، متخطيا القواعد العسكرية والطيران المسير والدوريات البحرية، في كسر لكل القواعد والمحرمات التي حرص الاحتلال على فرضها لسنين طويلة منذ أن بدأ. فوصلت إلى قطاع غزة من إيران أنواع متعددة من السلاح الذي كان مقاومو غزة في أمس الحاجة إليه، مثل الكورنت وصواريخ فجر والعديد من الأسلحة الحديثة الأخرى التي ما زالت فاعلة وبقوة في الميدان. وكان أيضا لدول أخرى مثل سوريا والسودان دور في عملية إمداد المقاومة.
We cannot allow it when Gaza became part of the long arm of the Iranians, providing Hamas and Islamic Jihad with all the weapon systems, giving the Hamas and Islamic Jihad the ability to bomb Israel. The day that they will not have this capability is the day in which the Palestinians in Gaza will have whatever they want.
لا، هم في محاولة لربط المقاومة الفلسطينية بأطراف خارجية. المقاومة الفلسطينية هي تقاوم على الأرض الفلسطينية ضد هذا الاحتلال الصهيوني. حتى قبل أن تكون هناك علاقات يعني واضحة وعلاقات قوية مع إيران، المقاومة الفلسطينية مستهدفة من العدو الصهيوني.
Tamer al-Mishal asked Ismail Haniyeh if Hamas continued reliance on Iran for military supplies, was causing a loss of support among its international allies.
نحن بالنسبة لنا أي دعم من أي دولة بما في إيران هذا دعم غير مشروط. حماس لا تقبل أي شروط مقابل هذا الدعم. ثم حركة حماس ما هي في محور يعني معادلة محور في المنطقة. حماس تتحرك في المربع المشترك. كيف ندعم المقاومة الفلسطينية بحيث أن تكون قادرة على الدفاع عن شعبنا الفلسطيني وتتصدى لمشاريع تصفية القضية الفلسطينية.
Inside Gaza, the Qassam brigades have continued to manufacture rockets capable of striking at Israel. They said this was for legitimate self-defense from Israeli attacks on Gaza. In November 2012, they launched rockets towards Tel Aviv for the first time. In retaliation, they said, for Israel's assassination of the Hamas military leader, Ahmed al-Jabari. This occurred at a time of turmoil in the region. The revolutions of the so-called Arab Spring were at their height, including in neighboring Egypt, where the incoming president voiced his unwavering support for the Palestinians living under blockade in Gaza.
لن يكون لهم أبدا سلطان على أهل غزة لن نترك غزة وحدها لن نترك غزة وحدها.
However, Morsi's time as Egyptian president was short-lived.
General Sisi will be as important as the U.S. and Israel decide to use him. Sisi's role is to contain the public, make sure that it's stable, prevent any real democracy, and you know he will have influence to the extent that the U.S., Israel, and some Arab states choose to use him.
داعم وبشدة كل الجهود اللي هتبذل من أجل إيجاد حل لقضية القرن في صفقة القرن لأنا متأكد أن فخامة الرئيس هيستطيع أن ينجزها.
It had long been accepted that a primary route for smuggling arms into Gaza was through a network of secret tunnels from Egypt. In response, Egypt attempted to create a buffer zone, including concrete walls on the Egyptian side of the border. Bulldozers have destroyed hundreds of houses on the Egyptian side, displacing communities that have lived there for generations. Another tactic to subvert the building of tunnels has been to pump seawater into these areas. This saturates the ground and is designed to thwart attempts to build new tunnels.
We use the Egyptians or Egypt to explain it to the international community and to Hamas. Or to the Palestinians, that for us to enable a different reality in Gaza, it is a precondition, disarming Hamas. It is rational, it makes sense, because Hamas, for us, is an enemy.
These attacks on the tunnels did have an effect, at a time when the Israeli-Egyptian blockade on the Gaza Strip was tightening. In July 2014, Israel launched further attacks on Gaza, even more devastating than those 5 years before. Thousands died in the war, the vast majority of them Gazans.
بحرب 2014، الطلب الذي كان موضوع على طاولة المفاوضات بالقاهرة حينما كانت تجرى المفاوضات غير مباشرة مع العدو في القاهرة. طلب الإسرائيلي الذي كان التركيز عليه ويجب أن تعطي حماس تعهد بوقف العمل بالأنفاق الاستراتيجية وإلا فإن استمرار العدوان والحرب مستمر لن يتوقف بل سيتصاعد.
ماذا كان ردك؟
وأيضا نحن لم نعطي هذا التعهد ورفضنا. بشكل عام أريد أن أؤكد بأن حركة حماس لم تعطي العدو ولا أي وسيط أي تعهد يمس قرار المقاومة من حيث المبدأ يمس تطوير وسائل المقاومة واستراتيجية تراكم القوة تحت أي ظرف من الظروف.
The 2014 war ended with a truce, but Gaza City and other areas lay in rubble.
I have to remind you that even after at least two of the Israeli operations in Gaza, the idea was that Israel should not do it by itself. It will be a disaster if we shall try to disarm Hamas. So, bottom line, Israel should not try to disarm Hamas by itself. It will not help us. We Israelis tend to forget that Hamas is not only a terror organization, is not only a violent movement. It is an ideology.
Coming up in part two, with Gaza needing to recover from the 2014 war and the blockade preventing imports of weaponry, Hamas paramilitary wing adopted a radical new rearmament strategy.
قررنا توسيع قطر منطقة البحث حول هذه السفينة. وبالفعل عثرنا على سفينة أخرى أصغر حجما على بعد 800 متر تقريبا. وجدنا على السفينتين غرف مليئة بقذائف المدافع.
In the complex geopolitics of the Middle East, Israel has spent around 14 years attempting to subdue and destabilize the elected Hamas government in Gaza. A series of violent military confrontations has cost thousands of lives in Gaza, the majority of them Palestinian civilian casualties. But neither side has so far gained the upper hand. The 2014 Gaza war left Hamas military resources heavily depleted. 51 days of attacks had exhausted their stock of weapons, and the continued blockade made rearmament extremely difficult. Tamer Al-Mishal of Al Jazeera's Arabic channel is investigating how Hamas and its paramilitary wing, the Qassam Brigades, has addressed their need to maintain their military capability, particularly as Israel forms new alliances across the region. While clearing up the war damage, some Al-Qassam Brigade's members came across a number of unexploded Israeli missiles. The failure of these rockets to detonate now became a new and unusual source of arms. The brigade set to work, re-engineering this Israeli ordnance with a view to returning it with a vengeance when needed.
بعد حرب 2014 تعاملت سلاح الهندسة مع العديد من الذخائر المنتشرة في القطاع من القنابل والألغام والأفعى المتفجرة وقذائف الهاوزر عيار 155 والعديد والمئات من القنابل المسقطة من عيار MK-84 التي تحتوي على 470 كيلوغرام من المواد المتفجرة شديدة الانفجار من نوع تريتونال. هذه المواد أشد قوة وشراسة من مادة TNT.
Harvesting and reactivating the Israeli bombs and missiles carried considerable risks. A number of brigade fighters were killed in the process, including Ibrahim Abu Najah, one of the project supervisors. Another discovery in the damage clear-up process was of long metal water pipes buried deep under the sand in Gaza. Their original use had been to supply Israeli settlements in Gaza, but they'd fallen into disuse after 2005, when Israel withdrew from the territory and the settlers were forced to evacuate. Al-Qassam Brigades now looked on the pipes not as potential suppliers of water, but as ideal casings to be converted into powerful rockets.
في باطن الأرض وجدنا كميات كبيرة جدا من الأنابيب المعدنية السميكة والتي كانت عبارة عن شبكة الامتصاص وسرقة المياه الجوفية من غزة وضخها إلى الأراضي المحتلة. قمنا بكشف المخططات لهذه الشبكة ومن ثم الحفر عليها في باطن الأرض واستخراجها ليتم توظيفها في الصناعات العسكرية.
This video was filmed inside a Qassam Brigade's workshop where they say they were making explosive rockets. Mechanical lathes were being used to cut cylindrical metal pipes to a uniform length. The video appears to show the Qassam Brigades converting water pipes into rockets capable of being fired from Gaza.
استطعنا من خلال هذا المخزون مضاعفة قوتنا وبنيتنا الصاروخية رغم الحصار، وهو ما مكننا من تحقيق كثافة وإدامة للنيران حسب احتياج الميدان.
The Qassam Brigades told Al Jazeera that these rockets were fired at Israeli targets during the military exchanges in Gaza in May 2019. They say the rockets carried explosive material from leftover Israeli missiles and bombs dropped on Gaza during the 2014 war.
قد كان الاستخدام الأبرز لهذه الصواريخ في شهر مايو من عام 2019 في الضربة الصاروخية التي وجهت للمواقع الأمنية والعسكرية للاحتلال في مدينة عسقلان ومحيطها، وذلك ردا على استهداف العدو للبنايات السكنية في قطاع غزة، حيث تم إطلاق 78 صاروخ قسام وسجيل في دقيقة واحدة وفي وقت متزامن. طبعا هذا الزخم من الصواريخ وجهنا من خلاله رسالة قوة وتحدي، أن العقاب سيكون من أدوات الجريمة التي رمانا بها المحتل، وقد أعيدت صناعتها بفضل الله عز وجل على أيدي الرجال المخلصين.
Ashkelon is an Israeli coastal town less than 20 kilometers north of Gaza. The attack sent a clear signal to Israel that the paramilitary wing of Hamas was rearming.
They succeeded to build capabilities either by smuggling through Egypt weapon systems into Gaza, and today they have a very good domestic capability to build weapon systems, mainly long-range missiles. Yes, they have very nice, they enhance their capabilities to produce domestically. They are learning all the time. They try to enhance their capabilities. We are making all the efforts to learn more and more about those capabilities and to neutralize them whenever it can.
بعد أن استخدمت المقاومة السلاح في الميدان وبدأت نتائجه ترى على الأرض وتثخن الإصابة في الآليات والجنود، جن جنون الاحتلال وشن سلسلة من الحروب العسكرية والسياسية على المقاومة في غزة بشكل متتالي. ساندته بها العديد من الحكومات والكيانات الظالمة المتواطئة، فقصفت الطرق والقوافل وأغلقت الحدود وانتشرت القواعد البرية والبحرية على طول طريق الإمداد وعاد الحصار، لكن أشد إطباقا وإحكاما.
The United States so-called deal of the century had been heralded for some time, although the precise detail had been unclear. All was revealed in early 2020, and it paved the way for new Israeli strategic regional alliances to be announced.
وأنا أعتقد بأن الإدارة الأمريكية نفسها وهي تتحدث عن صفقة القرن أكدت على أن أحد عناصر استراتيجية الإدارة الأمريكية هو بناء تحالف إقليمي تكون إسرائيل جزء من هذا التحالف نتيجته أنه فصائل المقاومة هي عدو لإسرائيل والأمريكا، وأيضا دول في المنطقة عدو، أن إسرائيل جارة وصديقة، وإسرائيل يمكن أن تكون حليفة، وأن العدو هو عنوان آخر وطرف آخر في المنطقة بما في ذلك فصائل المقاومة.
It's the end of an affair. It's not the beginning of an affair. And it's about burying the Palestinian issue, burying land for peace, and burying the Arab Peace Initiative.
The first sign of the shift in relations between Israel and some of its Arab neighbors came in early February 2020. It took place in East Africa, in Uganda, when Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met Sudan's collective conditional head of state, Abdel Fattah al-Burhan.
Two weeks ago, we had a very moving visit with the president of Sudan. That's an Arab, or rather a Muslim country, speaking Arabic, that hosted the Khartoum conference. And in Khartoum, they had all the no's against Israel. Remember the no's, no recognition, no Israel, basically.
يعني حتى نسجل يعني للتاريخ، نعم السودان شكلت أحد دعائم المقاومة الفلسطينية، لذلك استهدفت السودان من مبكرا، سواء كان بالقصف أو بالحصار السياسي والاقتصادي. أحد دوافع هذا القصف وأحد دوافع هذا الحصار هو موقف السودان من المقاومة الفلسطينية واحتضانها ودعمها، وشكلت أيضا يعني دولة وسيطة يعني بمعنى أو بآخر، بحيث أن تصل إلى المقاومة يمكن أن يصل ما يمكن أن يصل إليها.
Well, unfortunately, Sudan in the past used to be very close, not just to Palestinian factions, but to Iran. If Iran wanted to get weapons to a Palestinian faction in the Gaza Strip, what did it have to do? It would take a ship of the Iranian Navy from Bandar Abbas in the Persian Gulf, fill it with weapons, go out from the Strait of Hormuz, and come into the Red Sea, and then bring that weaponry to a Sudanese port, like Port Sudan. There it would be downloaded, and it would be brought up Sudan, up Egypt, so that it could be unloaded from trucks in the border area of Egypt and Sudan. From there, they would transport it to the Gaza Strip. We're not going to allow those things to happen in the future.
The deal between Israel and Sudan was done in October 2020, when Donald Trump announced that Sudan and Israel had agreed to normalize relations. Palestinians denounced the move as, quote, a new stab in the back. This announcement came just weeks after a symbolic flight by Israel's national airline to the United Arab Emirates, heralding new diplomatic relations between Israel and the UAE. Some observers had clearly foreseen changes in the relationship between Israel and the UAE. Emails leaked in 2017 showed communications between the UAE ambassador to Washington and a senior Israeli defense official. They discussed the so-called Iron Dome system, an Israeli defense countermeasure to aerial attacks.
Hi.
Hey, how are you? How was the exercise?
Good.
What you can learn from it?
Really, I am military, I cannot speak. I'm a guy from Libya.
Then, in April 2019, there was a further sign of improving relations between the UAE and Israel when military pilots from the two countries met in Greece to carry out joint air maneuvers.
Thanks to President Trump and the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Zayed, I think we're making history, and we're changing history. Peace is a good thing, and this peace unites moderate, two of the most advanced economies in the world, Israel and the United Arab Emirates, and two of the most moderate. We're fighting Iran and the radicals who are trying to overthrow the entire order in the Middle East, subjugate people, propagate terrorism. So this is good for peace, good for security, good for prosperity. I think it's good for the United States and good for Israel.
This is about bringing all this above the table. And to have handshakes on the White House lawn, and to have open statements of support for Israel.
In January 2020, Egypt, which borders Gaza, held an opening ceremony for a military base on the Red Sea. It was a show of military power, a VIP occasion. In attendance were the Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi and the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed. Some observers believe the purpose of the base is to cut supply lines to Gaza.
The establishment of this base absolutely is in with coordination with Israel, because nothing happens without Israel's security coordination. And we've seen this many, many times.
With supply routes of arms to Gaza reducing all the time, the Qassam Brigade sought other means of obtaining weaponry. On the seabed off Gaza are a number of shipwrecks, some sunk in naval confrontations. A specialist unit of Palestinian divers was tasked with searching the seabed for weaponry. They entered the wrecks of two old warships and made a surprising discovery. They began a recovery operation to bring their finds to the surface.
وجدنا جسم معدني كبير مثبت عليه أكثر من نوع من المدافع. بدأ أننا متواجدون على حطام سفينة عسكرية. ومن هنا تشكلت لجنة متخصصة للبحث في الأمر ومحاولة فهم الخفايا المحيطة بهذا الاكتشاف. قررنا توسيع قطر منطقة البحث حول هذه السفينة. وبالفعل عثرنا على سفينة أخرى أصغر حجماً. على بعد 800 متر تقريبا وجدنا على السفينتين غرف مليئة بقذائف المدافع وبناء على توصيات الإخوة بدأنا باستخراج القذائف القذائف على متن السفينتين كانت مؤمنة ومنزوعة الصواعق وهو ما سهل تعاملنا معها وانتزاعها من جسم السفينتين الغارقتين ولكن كمية القذائف الكبيرة وأوزانها الثقيلة جدا استغرق معنا وقتا كبيرا وجهدا شديدا في استخراجها.
There may be questions about divers recovering live explosives that were over 100 years old. But the history of the ships themselves is known. The British lost them in a First World War battle in 1917.
During the Battle of Gaza, these two ships were lost just off El Dera on the coast of Palestine in what was meant to be a safe anchorage. The British had laid down some heavy mesh nets to stop torpedoes coming into the anchorage. HMS Staunch is an Acorn-class destroyer. It carries two 4-inch guns, a couple of torpedo tubes. Its main qualities are high speed. It can go up to 30 knots. And it's able to move very quickly to deal with threats. It would be very difficult to reuse these weapons, the smaller 4-inch guns on Staunch. These again weigh 7 or 8 tons. They're not very portable. And it would be a rather obvious thing. You could see people trying to get these guns from the wrecks from space. So it would not be a very covert operation to recover them. And anything else on board, there might be one or two machine guns, but it'd be an awful lot easier to buy a new one.
The Qassam Brigade's divers claim to have recovered high explosive projectiles from the hold of at least one of the sunken ships, though Al Jazeera cannot independently verify this. Brigades say that the recovery operation was successful and that the weaponry was brought ashore.
السفن البريطانية كانت مزودة بأكثر من نوع من المدافع وكان أبرزها المدفع من عيار 233 مليمتر وكان يلقم بقذائف فولاذية بوزن 138 كيلوغرام. كانت تستخدم هذه المدافع في قصف الأهداف المشرفة على السواحل. سمك القذيفة 60 مليمتر من الحديد. صنعت القذيفة في بريطانيا لتطلق من مدفع وهي مميزة بجدارها الحديدي الفولاذي الذي هو غير متوفر في غزة بسبب الحصار.
The video shows what seems to be a Qassam Brigade's engineering and manufacturing unit recycling the British shells to make hundreds of new rockets. With iron and steel imports restricted by the blockade on Gaza, this is a new and welcome source of metal for the Palestinian resistance.
قمنا بعمل فحص لقدرتها التدميرية والاختراقية للتحصينات العدو الإسمنتية المسلحة. وقد أجرينا تجربة على سقف إسمنتي مسلح بسمك 40 سنتي من مخلفات العدو بعد انسحابه من غزة عام 2005. وكانت النتيجة تدمير الهدف بالكامل. تم توظيف قذيفة المدمر البريطانية لتصبح رأساً حربياً متفجراً للصاروخ سجيل 40 وسجيل 50.
نتيجة للجهد الدؤوب والمتواصل في البحث والجمع براً وبحراً، تراكمت لدينا مئات الذخائر والرؤوس الحربية وعشرات الأطنان من المواد المتفجرة والدافعة وأنابيب تكفي لإنتاج الآلاف من المحركات للصواريخ.
I believe that Hamas today is stronger than from, again, a military terms, but of the new war, not the old war. It's complicated, but Hamas is stronger than Hamas used to be. And I believe that unless we shall create a different political reality, Hamas will go stronger.
What we say to the Palestinians in Gaza is very clear. Don't use your weapon, give it away, and the borders will be open and you can get whatever you want, to import to Gaza whatever you want, to buy from whatever you want, to sell all around the world.
I think that any change in Gaza was contingent upon demilitarization. That's the phrase used. Significant improvements for the people of Gaza will not occur until the full demilitarization of Gaza. And that's unlikely to happen, given the completely, the way that the Trump deal has ignored Palestinian demands, whether it's Hamas in Gaza or the PLO in Ramallah.
Israel failed في نزع سلاح المقاومة. فشلت أيضا في حصار المقاومة. رغم كل ما تقوم به، سواء كان في موضوع الحصار، موضوع موجة التطبيع، اتفاقيات مع قوى دولية، وضع الحركة على قائمة الإرهاب، شيطنة الحركة، شيطنة سلاح المقاومة، أنا أعتقد بأنها لم تحقق إطلاقا أهدافها، بدليل بأن المقاومة في حالة صعود وقدراتها في حالة اتساع وفي حالة أيضا صعود. نحن لا نبحث عن حرب في قطاع غزة، ولكن نحن لا نخشاها. وأنا أؤكد وبقليل من الكلام، إذا العدو الإسرائيلي فكر بأن يشن عدوان جديد على قطاع غزة، ستكون المعركة هذه المرة مختلفة، وفصائل المقاومة في مقدمتها كتائب القسام في جعبتها ما سيفاجئ العدو، وما سيسر الصديق، وما سيغيظ كل خصم أو عدو لهذه المقاومة.
In the mainstream peace process over decades, Gaza and the Palestinians seem always to have been pawns in a global chess game. So the question now for Hamas is whether the recent changes in regional relationships signify the end of the road for them, or the beginning of a whole new chapter.